Okay, so today we're going to try to do two things. Number one is we're going to finish up a little bit from yesterday in terms of the general gather of Chukos Akum, and then the second thing we'll discuss, Be'ezras Hashem, is the gather of Kol She'yesh Bo Mishum Refuah, Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Ha'emori. So, here we are. First of all, just that we didn't really get to yesterday. We didn't quite finish. We noted that the Gra challenges the view of the Ran, rejects the view of the Maran, challenges the Maharik, but doesn't utterly reject him. So, what is the Gra's defense of the Maharik? So again, the problem is with the lenient view, the lenient perspective, is that they maintain that if there's a reason, if there's a justification for the ritual, so then it's okay. And the problem is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin implies that you need a pasuk for it to be permissible. The existence of a justification, like chashivusa, is insufficient. The Gra at least thinks that therefore the Ran is wrong, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is against the Maharik, as the Ran, as we said yesterday. But what about the Maharik? So he writes that the Maharik will believe that the reason why it's mutter to burn the beds of the king is because there's a pasuk. Like the simple reading of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The reason why we need a pasuk, though, is, and here's where the Maharik is different from Tosfos, is because it's something without a reason. Right? I'll just read you a little bit from his Lashon. The Gra, v'tzarch lomar l'divrei Maharik, adirabba, shein tam l'davar. There is no tam for burning of the bed. In other words, he wouldn't read the Gemara in Avodah Zarah like the Ran. When the Gemara says chashivusa, that's not telling you a reason why it's mutter. Taka, this is something shein bo tam, that we would classify as ein bo tam. After all, you can't really think of anything more ridiculous than burning beds, right? That's stupidity, sheer stupidity. So therefore, it's ein bo tam, and that's why the Maharik thinks. That's why the Gemara thinks that you need a pasuk. Aye, but then he says the problem with that is why do you need a pasuk for Saif? Because after all, Saif is something that is eminently reasonable. I mean, you do have to kill the guy, right? And what's, a nice sword seems to be a pretty good idea. So why would we need a pasuk according to the Maharik? Now, you might want to answer that, and this is something that Alex pointed out to me yesterday, which is something you can take it a couple of ways, but will, I think, help the lenient view. But one way we could say it is that I should also point out, I meant to say this earlier, that it's really a big schus to learn with Brian. And many, many, many of the things I say during Shir, especially the good ones, are from him. And I'm not saying it b'shem Omro, because I want to look good. And if I attributed everything to Brian, you'd wonder why I'm the Rosh Kollel. But I do want to say that. I also don't remember everything that comes out of a chavrusa, but certainly he gets a lot of credit for at least the things that make sense. So back to here. So the Gra, so we could answer. This is what Alex's point is. Maybe the reason why we need a pasuk for Saif, even though you could have argued you shouldn't need a pasuk because it's milsa b'taima, is because of the heter is formulated as kederach shama lacha moshe. Right? Look at the Mishnah. Chachamim, I kill with Saif. Oh, follow the go to I don't know the to Rome and see how they do it, and then you do the same thing. So the formulation of, the description, I should say, of the method of execution is Kedar Shem Malachim Osim, which basically sounds like, for the Maharik, Chukos Akum. Because remember, what is Chukos Akum for the Maharik? Copying them. Now, it happens to be that when there's Tam, it's going to be okay because it doesn't seem like we're copying them. We're just doing it Mipnei HaTam Shebo. But fundamentally, the gather of the Yisr is what? Copying. And since the Mishnah said, how do you do it? copy them. So therefore we need a pasuk, because this in particular looks like we're mimicking the Nachman. And in truth, you could have said a similar thing also about Tzreifa al-Malachim. But again, the Gemara doesn't say it that way. He said, Tzreifa al-Malachim, we need a pasuk because it's Ambo Tam. Here we need a Tam. Here we need a pasuk because we sort of acknowledge that we're copying them. Kedash al-Malachim al-Malachim. So that could be a defense of the Marek, I think. That's not actually the approach that the Gra takes. The Gra takes a different approach, which gets him into trouble. The Gra says, actually, you need the pasuk. Yesh lomar, dilo ksiv saif, lo ayu dan in klal besaif, bezeu shkasov kevan de ksiv saif chulei. In other words, we actually need the pasuk for saif not to permit chukas akum, but rather to permit, to teach us that there is such a thing as execution with saif. L'chalar kasha ha taza lo ksiv. First of all, then the pasuk doesn't really help, because the pasuk, even if it says cheret, it says, okay, you use the sword, but it doesn't say how you use the sword. You know, maybe, I don't know, you stab him in the stomach. I don't know. Right? A. And B, the truth is that the whole Gemara doesn't really read very smoothly this way, because it sounds like the pasuk is used to be matir chukosakom. So if you take the Alex approach, then you know, that could work, because yes, the pasuk is needed to be matir chukos akum, because in this particular case, we would have asked chukos akum because it's kedar shem alachem osim bedavka. One way or the other, the Gra concludes this is a yishuv, not a great yishuv, but a yishuv for the ma'arek of al divrei haran tmulim ma'od. The chayin divrei harav. Divrei harav, harav is the Rama, because Rama quotes basically the Ran in Avodah Zarah, along with Marek, but the Ran in Avodah Zarah. That's why he rejects it. So what would the Ran say about the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? So I didn't have a chance to look at these achronim inside. I ran out of time, but I quickly looked at the Dirshu to see what some of the Sfarim say.
Dirshu where?
In Avodah, I don't remember. It's either in Sanhedrin or Avodah Zarah. One of the two. The Masifta, that's it. The Masifta. I looked at the Masifta in one of those two places. So they quoted some other Sfarim, which I can share with you secondhand. They quote the Tzemach Tzedek, Simon Tzadi Aleph, the Melamed Lahoil, Orchaim Tazayin, and they argue that that when the Gemara, I guess actually same thing as the Gra really, but they say it in Iran, when the Gemara says that the Hatter is based off of a Pasuk, it's Lav Dafka. It's just telling you it's mutter to be noheg like them in Dvarim Sheish Behem Tam. And obviously, if it's in the Torah, there's a Tam. But you don't need a Pasuk. I mean, you have a Pasuk, so we say, right? Because if it's in the Pasuk, it's really, the Heter is Tam. And we could have just said, oh, this is a Tam, but we have a Pasuk. The Pasuk shows that it's Tam. The Heter is Tam. You don't need a Pasuk to show it's Tam. But if you have a pasuk, you can. They quote the Imre Esh Yoredeya Nunhei. I don't even know who that is. And I think that they're basically saying the same approach that Alex was saying, which is that in these particular actions, you look like you're copying both Sreifa al-Malachim and Hariga B'Sayif. Alternatively, he suggests that along the lines of the Marik, that fundamentally Yesh Bo Tam is mutter, unless there's taka tam to say you shouldn't do it. So one example is Pritzos, right? Pritzos, according to Marik, says, yeah, there's a tam, but still it's b'chal chukosako. So from the Marek, we only have one illustration of that. That's Pritzos, but he says maybe there are other ones, like Bal Tashchis, or, you know, Sreifa al-Malachim is certainly Bal Tashchis, or even execution by sword, which is Minuvol, and the head rolls on the floor, and, you know, it's gross. So there are particular reasons to think that this is Aser, And therefore, it's not just us or Altso's reasons, but it's nichlal and chukos akum. Because, you know, when we do things that are, I don't know, we could say counter to our values or the like, just like preachers, that can make it chukos akum, and that's why in these particular cases, we need psukim. Okay, so what are some of the nafkaminas between this approach? You know, we'll say the Gra and the Rama, just for simplicity's sake. So one nafkamina is the cape, the case that the Marik's actually talking about, this cape that the doctors wear for kavod. Marik says it's mutter, yesh botam, kavod. People know you're a doctor. And the Gra would say it's aser. There's no connection between a cape and being a doctor. Could be, you know, nowadays doctors, let's say, wear white coats. You could argue maybe the Gra could be okay with that, because then we could say that's practical. A white coat shows that you're sterile, you're clean, you're less likely to get, if a doctor showed up with, greasy, so when I see a doctor with a white coat, I think, oh, he's sterile. I'm not going to get the bacteria on my wounds. Maybe, I don't know, but we could, but a cape, certainly, there's nothing particular, there's no particular connection between capes in terms of the practical matters, and therefore a cape, something like that would be usher, or like we said, a graduation gown would be usher, maybe a tie would be, according to the Gra. You could try to argue that a tie would be okay for the Gra. An interesting question is, if something originally had a reason, had a function, it was originally functional, now is ornamental, could the Gra be matir? Not clear. Originally, once upon a time, in theory, I think ties were somewhat functional. People didn't necessarily have buttons to keep their shirts closed. So there was like a ribbon or a tie or a bow that you would use instead of a button. Now we do I still do it because I don't button my top button. I use a tie, but really ties are totally non-functional at this point. Could you say that since we started wearing them for functional reasons, they don't become usher even after they become anachronistic? That's an interesting shiloh. I remember, and this is a while ago, so I might be quoting it inaccurately, but I think Rav Usher Weiss has a piece on this, probably in Achremos, in the Parsha Sefer. And I think he said that another nafkamina between the Gran Rama are flowers on Shavuos. Now, I think that's right and wrong. Again, maybe I'm not quoting him correctly, so I don't want to say he's wrong, but it's a nuanced point. So let's talk about flowers on Shavuos.
Rebbe, just a question.
Yeah.
Didn't the Gra agree that you could wear a malbush, which is universal? Like the Gemara Me'ila makes it sound like it's okay to dress like a goy as long as it's not a malbush, a miyuchad lenochrim. Everyone wears ties, so then why is that?
What was the lashon? Let me tell me. What's the lashon of the Gra? I don't remember. What?
Miyuchad is the Rambam. The Marik made a big deal about that.
The miyuchad. That's. I was just. Where did
the Gra? The Gra at the end said the Gematel.
Right. I mean, he agrees.
It's in Sifkatan Vav where he says that.
Sifkatan Vav.
Okay, in truth, that's where he's defending the Maharik.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a defense of the Maharik, but he thinks the Maharik is wrong.
Right, but he has to read that Gemara also, meaning.
Let's read it together. Okay. Ukemosha Kas of Sham came to Siv Lamina Gaminan, the Lavdak Mishum de Siva Raisa, El Kol Davar, Shahayu Osim Zulas and Mutter, the Chain the Malbushe. In other words, right? So anything that we would do in their absence, right? We would have been doing anyway is okay. Now, that line, Bechem Abu Shem, is sort of interesting, what he means. I wasn't sure about that. We'll get back to it in a second. Right? So anything that's Muchad Lahem is Asur. He doesn't like the Marik's reading of that Gemara by Rakhtad Masana, because the Marik said that the reason why Rakhtad Masana was Asur is because of Pritzos. No, first of all, the Rif didn't say anything about Pritzos, so he did say red, but he doesn't think that's Mistah there. In other words, even an erakta misana, which is like nothing, it's garnished. So that's against Marek. Moshe kasav the sefer hanal ho the hein yotzin. Malbush shahayinu lov shin belav hachimoter. Any malbush that we would have worn without their wearing it is mutter. Lachin lokasha kol rayus marek hanal. Right. So the rayus of the marek, which indicate that Jews didn't necessarily dress differently than Gentiles, are not rayos, because these are articles of clothing that we would have worn regardless. L'fi shalohaya miyuchad lohem dafka. Okay? V'chein kachar rambam hamiyuchad lohem, as the Marik notes, v'chein v'chol davar, v'divrei Marik einan nirin klal. Marik is totally wrong. Now, so the way he was reading this is, well, anything that's universal is okay, because it's not miyuchad lohem.
Right.
So, the question is, that's correct, but the question is, what would be if it's non-functional, like a tie? And that's not clear anymore. In other words, you're right that a tie is not miyuchad for Gayim anymore, because, I don't know, Jews wear as many ties as Gayim. But at the same time, it's ein bo tam. And for this to be, for it to be mutter, the Gra says, it needs to be something that we would do otherwise, right? So now we have to ask ourselves, stop, why do we wear ties, right? And if the answer is, because Gayim wear ties, it's aser. The answer is, no, I would wear ties without Gayim wearing ties, then it's mutter. Well, what's the answer?
Meaning anything fashionable, right, by that argument, so, is a problem. A black hat should be also,
yes,
came from the game originally also. Yeah.
Well, so that's my point. I don't know if we have to retrace history, but it's a fair question, right? Certainly, the fact that Jews wear now black hats is not because the guy wear black hats. It's because the guy don't wear black hats. So I don't think a black hat would be a problem at this point. But you're right. In other words, he clearly holds that only a malbush hamiyuchad lenachrim is mutter, is aser. Like, that's what he says. But he also tells you that anything that that's ritualistic is aser, even if yesh bo tam. So now the question is, how do you deal with a tie? A tie is ritualistic, but it's ein bo tam, other than fashion. So again, fashion gra would be fine for the marek, kavod would be fine for the marek, but l'chora it wouldn't be okay for the gra.
Jacket. If you're wearing anything extra, not
functional. Question: jacket.
Like, why should you jacket any different?
Well, so a jacket I could at least hear is sometimes functional. Because a doctor's coat, there's no association, there's no connection between wearing a cape and practicing medicine, other than that's what, that's a ritual. You're asking that why is wearing a jacket derech kavod mutter, according to the Gra, right? I think it's a fair question. I think the truth is that the Gra's position is difficult to figure out, because again, he does tell us what the standard is, right? What standard needs to be achieved for the Gra to be mutter? Something we would do without them. He tells you that's the standard. Well, how are you supposed to figure that out? So that's what I was saying before about the ties. And it might be true about jackets also. In other words, we could argue that at this point, the reason why we wear jackets and ties is not because of them. And if Gayim stopped wearing jackets and ties, we would still wear jackets and ties. But Haraya, we wear hats and fur hats for that matter, even though they've stopped, right? But so that's, I agree with that point. In other words, it might be, very well be, that at this point, wearing a jacket and a tie is okay, according to the Gra. What would be usher according to the Gra, and again, sometimes it's going to be hard to figure this out, would be, you know, if there's a new style, right? And what about a style in a style? In other words, let's take ties. So let's even say we're going to be Montier ties, because we would do them without a them, right? But so, you know, it used to be, you know, if I was here, 25 years ago, my tie would be like 14 inches thick. And if I was here like 5 years ago, my tie would be an inch and a half thick. I'm always like 3 or 4 years behind everybody else. So right? So that's because I wait to get the ties on sale. So they only get really cheap after they go out of style. So the point is, so it's pretty obvious, you know, why are, you know, the Jews also change their styles of ties along with the Gaim. And it's pretty obvious that they're doing it because of the Gaim. I'm assuming it's not the Jews that are trendsetters like that. You know, we start making our ties thin and all of a sudden the Gaim copy us, right? So I think it's reasonable to assume that it's the opposite. The Gaim made their ties thin and we, the Jews, copied them. And when the Gaim start making ties fat, we're going to copy them also. And I think that's very questionable if you follow the Gaim. I don't know that that would be mutter. I don't think we could honestly say, you know, again, even if we could justify wearing ties, right? Because we would still wear ties if they stopped wearing ties. Naniach. But to make our ties fat and skinny, you know, based off of what's happening in GQ, right? Can we really say about that? Kol davar she'inu osim zu asam mutter? That we would only, I don't know. So I think, if you ask me, I think we pass them like the Gra. I mean, against the Gra. I think we pass them like the Maariv. The Minhag HaOlam is like the Maariv. And I think there are all sorts of things that the Olam does that would be very, very questionable if you followed the Gra. So I don't think wearing a shirt or pants is asur according to the Gra. You know, it's an interesting question. I saw, maybe we'll get back to it when we do Begadisha. There's some poskim say, when they talk about, you know, is it usher for women to wear slacks? So some people first said, okay, it's Begadish. So that's hard argument, certainly, to keep up. I mean, these are pants that are made for women. So then others said it's usher because of Muzaka. And certainly because they're, you know, why did women, Jewish women, start wearing pants? Because non-Jewish women started wearing pants. And then they argued, even though according to Maariv would be asur, because there's an aspect, a reduction of snias, and it's being done, so therefore it's asur from Maariv. That's not a pasha argument, because we suffer the Maariv, it has to be miyuchad, right? And it has to be done in order to copy them. I don't know that when, you know, Jewish women started wearing pants, so, you know, forget the comfort issue. Let's even, you know, even if they're not comfortable pants, they were just saying, oh, let us be like them. Again, the argument was, here it's worse. Maybe we'll get back to it when we do a Begadish. I'd like to talk about that. But again, for the Gra, it seems that, yes, there are lots of things that are commonly done that are quite questionable according to the Gra, including following trends in style. Yeah.
I was just going to ask about that last point, actually. I mean, is it, like, I feel like trends in style is very different in the cases that, I guess, like, let's say the cases that Maariv is specifically talking about.
Yeah.
Something extra, right, that is meant to make a statement of some sort, opposed to a trend which really, I guess, sort of starts from a person likes, I mean, the patterns that the person likes.
I mean, I think trends in style would be mutter for the Maariv.
But even for the Gra, I'm saying, I mean, it's possible that, I mean, why do I wear a skinny tie versus a fat tie? Because that's what I like to wear. I mean, why
could
do
you
like
really say
comes that, from the fact that
well, but that's a question. Could you say that Kaldavar Shayinu Osim Zulasa? In other words, there is a reason for the cape and there is a reason for the tie. The reason is the same, more or less. Let's say kavod, style, looking good, looking snazzy. I like to look snazzy, right? I like everybody to know I'm a good dresser. I like everybody to know I'm a doctor. It's the same reason. So for the Maariv, that's fine. For the Gra, not.
Right. Meaning, let's say with the doctor's quote for the grunt, he's going to say, there's no, I mean, you don't like wearing it. The only reason you're wearing it is because why? Because that represents public or whatever. Well, let's just take trends for a second. Trend, the starting point would be that the guy might doing it, but they'll do it if they want to do it.
Same thing with the doctor. I'm only going to wear tape because I want that covered. And the only reason why I'm going to wear this skinny tie, why am I buying new ties? I have a whole bunch of fat ties because I want covered. I want to look stylish. I want to get a date, whatever it is.
Right. I guess it's like you're wearing a tie, anymore. You're just not wearing a fat tie.
I don't think that's such a good chiluk. The reason for the choice of dress, right? I bought all new ties. I don't wear the fat ties, neither the skinny ties. It's hard to hear why that would be mutter according to the graph. As I said, halacha maisa, I think it's fine. I don't think we don't paskin like this graph. Yeah.
Just if the goal is to be stylish, who's making the style? So
if we were making, if it was Jewish styles, then you're right.
But is it Jews involved in?
I think overall the style industry.
Ralph Lauren, isn't that? Is
there something? Her lap's old buddy.
Charles Turwood almost a
little bit. Couldn't hear that.
From women's styles, probably.
From women's styles, yeah, for sure. I agree. I think that Ralph, notwithstanding, and I'll prove it to you because his name isn't Loren. He was trying to look like a guy so that people would buy his clothing. His name is like, Ralph Moskowitz. Go to Rabbi Harlapshul. I don't remember. He spoke, they said his real name, his original name, when at the Reitz dinner a number of years ago when they honored Rabbi Harlap. So Ralph Loren, like gave a drasha or something. I think it was on the video. He wasn't there live, but he gave. So, but I can assure you, he wasn't born Loren. Right. So the only reason why people will buy his stuff is because he's making himself out to look like a guy. So I don't think that makes it that's going to be a good answer.
There's just something I'm a little confused about. The Rama says if there's a chashash, ego mecha, so Rebbe's saying that. Is that because that's the second type? I'm just not clear. No, the Rebbe's saying that because, let's say, in the black hat example, because nowadays only Jews wear black hats.
It's what regardless for the Rama.
But the Rama. But
I was trying to say maybe for the Grah.
Yeah, I understand, but what does the Rama mean? He says, Shemet HaWot Rechava Me Abu Sehem.
He's quoting the Ran.
But it's Me Abu Sehem.
Meaning, say, even if we don't know. Let me read it again. Okay. If it's something that's ein bo tam, it's aser because then that it might have idolatrous roots. Avaldavar shenagul toelas, if there's some purpose, then it's mutter, right?
So let's say just like a hat's probably had a purpose, but let's say a tie, let's assume for a moment we didn't know if it had a purpose, we had no idea, but now only Jews wear ties, it would still be aser, wouldn't it, according to the Rama? Because maybe it was a whole desire?
So it's a good, I agree. I don't know if it would become usher, meaning to say as follows. When there is a practice that Goyim do, and now we want to know, can we do it? And it's ein bo tam, then we may not copy it because we have to be suspicious that it has an idolatrous root because it's ein bo tam. And therefore, now, with respect to the tie, let's say your assumption, now we have a different question. Where I'm waking up now, 2022, and I should ask myself, is it mutter for me to wear a tie any longer? Because this is davar she'ein bo tam, and maybe now I have to be choshesh that it has a shemet shel avodah zarah, right? Or so I agree from these words in the Ramah, not so clear. Not so clear.
I'm still puzzled about the lack of a middle ground.
Oh. But I don't think that's a good answer question, because a tie has a tam. A tie is kavod. What is that's a perfectly good reason for the Rama. It's no different from the cape.
Well, the cape is partially because it demonstrates.
Oh, but that's good enough.
That it's a background of he's a chief.
Okay, but why does anyone wear a tie?
The tie doesn't mean
a tie serves a purpose.
No,
I think that's it. In other words, like he continues. For example, he gives the chayin she'osin misham kavod o tamacher mutter. So a tie is kavod o tamacher, right? So a tie, I think, definitely qualifies. Even without the history of a tie, perhaps once upon a time, keeping your shirt closed. Maybe for the Gra we would need that. But for the Ramah, I think that kavod is a fine reason. You know, the idea that a person should have formal wear and be able to dress in a formal way, that's good enough. That's a reason. That qualifies as a reason for the Ma'arik Ramah approach. And so I don't think tie is even a shaila for the Rama. It's only a shaila for the Gra.
Yes,
Mo, you're going to say something. Sorry.
Yeah. When it says yesh bo ta'am, there are two ways of understanding that. One is it has some utilitarian purpose.
No, that's not what he means.
It definitely means
explanation. It's not. If it's utilitarian, well, it depends what you mean by utilitarian. There's some explanation for it, then we don't have to suspect that there's an idolatrous connection. That's all we need. That's what we talked about before, earlier, and we'll get back to that in a moment. You know, what if I have good grounds to assume it's not connected to idolatry, even if I can't come up with actually an explanation for it. But again, we know kavod qualifies as a tam for the Ramah, because he tells you kavod qualifies for a tam.
So in that case, if the surrounding society has skinny ties or wide ties, and you use the wrong kind of tie, you'll become a laughing stock rather than being kavod.
That's fine. That's what we said. That's pashut mutter for the Ramah. The skinny tie, fat tie discussion was only within the Gra. Huh. For the Ramah, for sure, it's mutter. That's what we said. That's why I don't think any of these shaila, these are all going to be okay, because we don't paskin like the Gra. Okay, flowers and shuas. So first of all, it's a little funny that people talk about flowers and shuas, because there were two minhagim. You can see this in the Magen. There was a minhag for grass based off of the fact that there was grass around Har Sinai, based off the fact that the Torah talked about the animals grazing. Sort of an interesting, it's a pretty far-fetched thing, but that's one source for the minhag, right? Because it says Vatzon Babakar al Yeru. So to remember Matan Torah, we bring grass into the shul. And then the second reason is we bring in trees to remember that on Shavuos we're nidon on peiros. So those are two different minhagim. They were old minhagim. that were practiced, and then comes along the Gra. So this is not in the Gra's writing, as far as I know, but it's quoted by the Chachmas Adam that I sent you. It's Shar Isser V'Heter Klal Netas, and he writes that even though the Rama brings down his minhag, but it should not be done any longer. And the reason is because the Gaon do it. I don't know exactly what he's referring to. I assume he's talking about Easter, that they bring in palms. I don't know. I don't know. Is he talking about Christmas trees? I don't know what exactly. But they also bring into their Batei Avodah Zarah things of this sort. And therefore, we must stop. So as I said, so the Rav Asher said, this is the Rama and the Gra Lashitasa. Rama says it's Mutter, Gra says it's Aser. Now, really, it has nothing to do with the discussion we've had until now, because we have a reason for this, right? We just said the reason, to remember Matan Torah, to remember that's Nidon al HaPeros. Now, we'll say, okay, for the Gra, that doesn't, so why is it Lashitasa? So the Gra doesn't matter that there's a reason, because it's ritualistic. But that's not true, because here we could definitely say that we would do it without them. But remember, what did the Gra say? It's mutter as long as we could say we would do it without them. We would do it without them. We did do it without them, right? We were doing this, going all the way back. We always put grass in the show. I guess flowers are supposed to be grass. It's just nice grass. I think the Bishop where it talks all about what do you do when Shavuos falls out like this year for Sunday, because how are you going to bring the grass? The grass. It's like, you take your stuff from mowing the lawn, bring it into the show. But so of course the Gra says it's mutter as long as we could say we would do it without them. So I think for sure we would say here we would do it without them. Right? We're not, the reason why we bring the grass into the shul and shvuas is not because they bring palm trees into their churches. It's because the pasuk says gam haton bar bakar al yiru el mol ha'aro. So why should this be asur for the Gra? So that's true. The answer is the reason why this is asur for the Gra is because the Gra learns like Tosfos. And according to Tosfos, what does the Gemara in Avodah Zarah say? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says there's two types of things. Number one, things that they do that have no connection to Avodah Zarah, that are just shtuyot. That's asur, mutar with a pasuk. The second thing is things that do have a connection to Avodah Zarah. Those are asur even with a pasuk. So says the Gra, okay, let's assume that what they're doing is the same type of thing as what we're doing. Okay, I don't know what they do, but whatever it is, it's the same thing or close enough, right? So now, what happened? It's true that once upon a time, this might have been mutter, right? But Lemaisa, they do this practice. And if they do this practice, then it's Aser. And it would be Aser even with a Pasuk. And like you said, Dumya to Matseva. Now, let's read it together. But that's
he says the end came into came down from the Chag Shalach. That's like the Matzeva stuff. It's going on the first one. Read the last words. I
initially
made that joke, then I
realized. Right? This is what they do. So I think that's what he means. In other words, so now, is it really the Gra and the Rama Lashitaso? The answer is yes and no. It has nothing to do with the discussion of the Rama versus the Gra that we've had until this point, right? Because if that were the issue, then it would be mutter for the Gra, because we don't do it to copy them. However, it is Aser, it is Talui in that discussion. Der Agav, because the Gra's Mahalik is basically rooted in his acceptance of Tosfos. And the Ramah's Mahalech is basically rooted in his rejection of Tosfos. If you reject Tosfos, so then there's really no reason to come up with this idea that if we do it for our own reasons, it becomes us or just because they do it. Now you could say, you know, in the spirit of Matseva, maybe we should stop. But you don't have to say that. The Gemara isn't saying that. Like, you're not over on the Isser of Matseva by bringing the flowers into the shul just because they happen to do it. So that being the case, if you learn like the Rama and basically reject Tosfos, then there's really no reason at all to have an issue with flowers. On the other hand, if you learn like the Gra, and which basically is rooted in the Mahalich of Tosfos, then yes, there is a very good reason to aser flowers.
Question?
So that's.
I seem to recall that in olden times, going back far enough, when they had menachos, wafers, they would put the oil on it and the surah of an X.
Right, Kai.
And when Christianity came along, they said, oh, this looks like a cross. We better do it some other way. So that was not only a minhag, that was actually a derech of doing a mitzvah. And we changed it because it became, it acquired idolatrous connotations.
Okay, we're allowed to do that, but we don't have to. In other words, if we want to keep on putting flowers in the shul and shavuos, then we may. You're making a good point, which is we might want to say, oh, you know, maybe this is something that we should reconsider. Maybe this minhag should be stopped. But I don't know that you would need to. Okay, we're not even close to where we wanted to start today. These are all just leftovers from yesterday. But I was going to talk a little bit about clothing. There's a very interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe, Yoredeya Chelek Aleph, Simen Pei Aleph. He's basically asked, you know, I came from Poland to this Trefa Medina, and everybody is wearing geisha clothing, and this is a horrible thing. You better stop it. Says Rav Moshe back, Pashut Ein Shum Shemetz Isser Bistam Begadim Shaloshim Bimazu, After Gamanachon Loshim Begadim Elu, Medin Mavushe Nachon, Dein Baim Chashash Shemetz Akum, Vinachos Gam Lo Davar Tamua, Elanoit Bekadayma. So this is exactly what we said. Based off of the Ramah, right? Clearly he's learning, he's passing like the Ramah, like the Marik, and he's saying, therefore, it's okay. He says, okay, Begadim Shiyesh Bahem Pritzos Mamesh Shinasim Echadash Bevigdei Nashim. I don't know if he's talking about pants. Might be, I don't know. Some type of short skirts. I don't know what it is. So Afshe Bevonosin or Arabim Kevan Shagam HaYisraelios Melubashos Bahem Gam Mitzchila Ein Lahachshivan Malbushei Nachmen Mitzad Etzem HaBegadim Aval Etzem HaPritzos Ulai Yesh Lahachshiv Michukos HaAkom. So that's what he says about clothing. You know, then there's an interesting question, which is, do we paskin like the Rambam? Now, there's a Rambam, on the one hand, as we noted, as Marik says, clearly states something that's miyuchad lan is aser, fine. We don't wear any begadim that are miyuchadim. Good. But the Rambam also says that we have to be nicker through our dress, that we're Jewish. And the question is, do we paskin like that? If you remember, the Marik sort of goes back and forth on this topic. On one point, he's willing to say, yeah, I accept what the Rambam says, as long as, you know, you can wear all geish clothing, as long as there's one thing that you wear that sort of makes you nicker. But then he quotes, he thinks of the Gemara Chulin, that sounds like you don't need anything, though. So then the question is, do we really accept that? Now, we pointed out last time, if you are a yarmulke, then you're in keeping with that. But let's say you don't wear a yarmulke. So is that a violation of chuppos akum? In other words, if I go out, I walk around in such a way that, or I wear a baseball cap, okay? Because who are only Jews wear a baseball cap. If I dress in a way to look no different, I dafka dress because I don't want to be nicker as a Yehudi, right? Not for any bad reason, just what do I need it for? So we talked about this morning, you know, I want to go and like step into the lane at the last moment. I don't want to make a chalashem. So I put on a baseball cap before I, So is there anything wrong with that? Seemingly the Rambam would say it's usher. Marek, Pashtus, it's mutter. With Moshe, from that tshuva, you get the impression that he doesn't think it's a violation of Hukus Akam. Now, there's another famous tshuva of Rav Moshe about a yarmulke. So the Taz says, you know, let's take one step back. From the Gemara, you might get the impression that there's a midas chasidus to cover your hair. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Yoshua, Rav Huna braid Rabbi Yoshua, Lomaski Arba Amos Begilui Rosh, and in Mesechta Shabbos, he like says, Tesi li de lo sagi Arba Amos Begilui Rosh. So maybe from the Gemara, Shechina, Lomali Rosh, we see it's a nice thing to do, but it's certainly not halacha. Maybe it's midas chasidus. The Shulchan Aruch does bring it down, and the Magen Avraham in Siman Beis, and the Magen Avraham writes over there, that even though the Shulchan Aruch writes, you know, sounds like you should, that should be understood as Midas Chasidus. That's in Or Chaim Siman Beis, Sifvav. There's a Prima Gadim who has a different reading. It might be, according to some Rishonim, that it's Medina when you're making brachos, or you're davening, or Nishol, or the like. But Stamazeh, Medina de Gemara, for sure the Pashtus is that it's not something that's obligatory. Now, there's a Taz. The Taz says, but it is Aser Medina because of Chukos Akum. This Taz is cited lahalacha by the Mishnah Berurah Siman Beis, Sif Katan Yod Aleph. It's Aser because of Chukos Akum. Now, I'm not entirely sure about the Metzius here. I'm wondering if, you know, it used to be that derech kavod, like if you go to court, they'll say, take off your hat. That's derech kavod. We sort of have the opposite. You know, we want to have derech kavod. We wear something on our heads. And maybe for them, it was like that. I don't know enough about the Metzius. But Rav Moshe writes in Yoredei Chelek Aleph, Simen, Chelek Dalet, Simen Yud Aleph, Oz Gimel, that even according to the Taz, this wouldn't be true anymore, right? That Deka Isser ben Makom Osenu Shuchok Akam Shemkein Hulav Shonis Mamon. Well, I'll just give you the background to that tshuva. So the tshuva that he was asked is basically some guy who couldn't get a job if he wore yarmulke. So Rav Moshe says, well, if the Taz is right, then it's a lav, and if it's a lav, then you can't violate a lav to get a job, even if you couldn't otherwise get a job. But he says that the Taz is not relevant anymore. Because the reason why people don't cover their heads has nothing to do with chok. It's because they don't want to be bothered wearing a hat. And it's a pain and there's no interest. And right, that the reason why they don't wear hats or anything on their heads anymore is mishum shekein nichalahu lahanas ufan. Lo shaykh laser zah mishum halav duchubusem lo. So the Taz isn't relevant anymore. So then why do we have to wear yarmulke? So Moshe writes, this isn't our subject, so we're not going to get into it, but he says that we should still wear yarmulke mitzad minhag, because we were, even though Medina Digmar, you don't need to, but we were accepted upon ourselves a minhag of wearing yarmulke. But since it's only a minhag, so just if you could forego a mitzvah saseh for a significant loss of money, so certainly a minhag, and therefore not being able to find a job is sufficient grounds to not wear a yarmulke. And therefore he permits this guy to take off his yarmulke to get a job. And it used to be, you know, almost most people, many professions, everybody didn't wear yarmulkes anymore. My father's a lawyer, and he told me when he started off, no from Orthodox lawyers wore yarmulkes. There were like a handful in New York, the rest of the country, nobody. Nowadays, you know, we're very multicultural, for better or for worse. But for, you know, a better thing is people are tolerant of all sorts of idiosyncrasies in people and their dress. So could be that nowadays there's much less of a heter to not wear a yarmulke. There's also a lot of positive value to wearing a yarmulke. We'll talk about that at breakfast tomorrow or something. But that's that. Okay, so we talked about the theaters and the like. I already mentioned to you the tshuva of Rav Moshe, that he says it's not aser because of chukos em lo silechu. If you want to look it up, it's Yoredei Chelek Dalet Siman Yud Aleph Os Aleph. that it's not chukosem ol seilechu, it's not tartios, because there's nothing to do with avodah zarah, it's just moshe bleitzim. An interesting question that comes up that we sort of, Donnie was, I think, a little bit alluding to, is what if you have the following shaila? There's something that's done, and it might have originally been rooted in idolatrous practice, but that connection has been severed. Is there still a problem of chukos akum in that practice? So there's a tshuva, an interesting tshuva, and we're going to get to it for the other reason later, in Chasam Sofer Or Chaim Kufnin tests about shaving. So besides the giluach issues, the Chasam Sofer is addressing the question of maybe it should be us or because of chukos akum, because they do it. He says the Ramami Pano Ogrim Kubol. Generally speaking, the Italian rabbis were clean shaven, and he says anyway the reason why the Goyim shave is he has a theory. I won't even get into it. But what's relevant for us for now is that he says that we don't know the shoresh of their minhag to shave, right? It's not known to us that the reason why Gaim shave is rooted in idolatry. And therefore, if we shave, it's not Aser al Tzchukos Akum. So I saw Rav Asher Weiss in that same piece, I think in Acharei Mos, is Medayek, that you see that if we could somehow be Koveya, that the root of this practice was idolatry, even if there's no longer any connection to idolatry anymore, so then it would be Aser. That's the view of the Chasam Sofer. At least that's the diak of Rav Asher Weiss that the Chasam Sofer would say. And he quotes over there the Tshuvas Be Salma, Aleph Kuflam Zayin, that says it doesn't matter, even if you were to somehow show that the root of this practice is associated with idolatry, if there's currently no connection at all to idolatry, then it's going to be mutter. This is an interesting question. We don't have time to get into it, but another interesting discussion about chukos akum comes up in the question of bas mitzvah celebrations. Is the Kan Aram, Simon Vav, argued that bas mitzvahs are a violation of chukosam los teilechu. It's copying the, I guess, confirmation ceremonies of non-Jews. There's a tshuva from the Sri Deish, Chelek Bei Simon Lamites on bas mitzvahs. And he says, if you're going to say that bas mitzvahs are chukos akum, then so are bar mitzvahs and a lot of other things. And we do it because we have our own reasons. And as long as your reasons are good, he agrees that it would be aser. If the reason why you're having a bas mitzvah is to be like the Gayim, then it would be aser. But if you're having a bas mitzvah to celebrate hischaivos b'mitzvos, or the like, we have our own reasons, then it's not chukos akum. Rav Moshe's a tshuva where he is a couple of tshuvas, but where his basic point is that you can't have it in a shul because it doesn't have the din of a sudas mitzvah. The Sri Deish says, I'm inclined to accept that, so you shouldn't have it in shul, unless it would be a sudas mitzvah. You could argue it is a sudas mitzvah. Rav Avadia has a tshuva about that where he says that if it's bo bayom, so it's a sudas mitzvah, this theory of the marshal by bar mitzvahs is relevant. Or if you're dove, you can make it into a sudas mitzvah. But anyway, that's a different issue. Rav Moshe, though, doesn't seem to think that it would be a violation of chukos akum. He thinks it's stupid. He thinks bar mitzvahs are stupid. He thinks if anybody would listen to me, I would get rid of those also. But nobody's going to listen to me about bar mitzvahs. At least they should listen to me about bas mitzvahs. Whether they did or didn't depends on where you live. But it's sort of reminiscent of what Rabbi Willard says about bar mitzvahs always, which is, if it's more, is it more bar than mitzvah? Okay, we're out of time, and I didn't even get to start what we were supposed to do today. I'll just mention again briefly Thanksgiving. So Rav Moshe, as I said, has a little bit of a suffix about this. because of that suffix that we already had in the Ramah. In other words, to be mutter, do you need to just have no known connection to idolatry? Or even, you know, it's not connected to idolatry, or does it have to be a tam? See, there's a couple of tshuvos. The first, one of them is Yerodei Achelav Dalet Simiyudalef Os Dalet. And he says, look, this isn't, this is not a, this isn't religious. Sifrei Datam Lo Husker Yom Zelachag. Look at the Christian books. And you won't see anything, you know, about this there. So even though it is ritualistic, having turkey, without a doubt, but it's not religious. It's not connection. So what is aser? Avavadei aser l'kvoa zeh l'chol v'avlu mitzvah ela l'simchas harishus ata is okay. Uv'ofen zeh b'lo kfiyas chol v'avlu mitzvah yuchagam l'shana acheres gam kein l'smal philosophers. If you want to make it next time also. And again, what he emphasizes also in that same place in Siman Yud Beis is that this is not religious. It's secular, basically, both in terms of its form of celebration and its history. And then he was asked again about it, and he writes, again, this point, it's a different tshuva, in Yerodei Aleph Pei Aleph, he says he's much more equivocal because of this point, because, you know, it's still in Botam, even though it also seems to have no connection to religion. I guess we'll close with one last interesting example of discussion of Luvos Akum relates to, well, we did Geish music for songs last night, for those who missed it. But secular names or non-Jewish names. So there are those that aser. The Mamshik Yerodea Kuf Samachay says it's aser and it's a violation of the Chukosei Mosei Lechu. Now we should point out that the Mamshik, and in general the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer especially, aser lots and lots of things, Alts B'Chukosei Mosei Lechu. The Chuppah and the Shul, for example, because that's what they do, even though it's clear from the Rishonim that they used to have chuppahs in the shul. As we saw when we did Hilchos Avelos, names, all sorts of things. And it's obvious also that, this was part of a battle against the Reform movement, which was decimating the Jewish people. And it was in Eis Lassos Lashem, and the Chassam Sofer's Mahalik, at the very least, in terms of fighting Reform, was to be to not change anything, Chadash Asim and Torah, even though that itself was a Chiddush, in a sense. But that was the Mahalik, and it was very successful, in the place. The other thing is, you know, so that's one reason, you know, aspect of the Chumras. Another aspect is also that the Reformers were clearly and obviously trying to do everything like the guy. In other words, that was their motivation, the reason why they moved the Bima, and the reason why they wanted to have an organ in the shul, and the reason why they wanted to have, you know, they were trying to be as guyish as they possibly could to fit in. So that's something that has to be kept in mind also. However, Rav Moshe and others have a tshuva where they basically, you can't say that, it's also to have guyish names. One tshuva from Rav Moshe is Eben Ezer, Chelek Gimel, Siman Lamed Hey. He points to, among other things, there are Tanayim, Amorayim that had Gaish names, Rishonim that had Gaish names. How could you say that it's Aser? He has a bunch of lists, and he says, you're going to say it's Chukos HaAkum. No, why should it be Chukos HaAkum? Then, also, by the way, Or Chaim, Chelek Dalet, Siman Samach Vav. But he does say, that it's nice to have a Jewish name. Mitzad etzem hadavar shemeshanin eshmosein l'shemos nachon vaday davar meguna me'od me'ach shechazal shimchu zeh. Where did they meshabech it? Loshinu shemam. Now, that brings a different issue. Loshinu shemam, abusham, and shemosam. So, like, you know, we do all three of those things, right? We're speaking in English, we're all wearing Gaiish clothing, and at least half of us have, you know, non-Jewish names. So what does that mean? So Rav Moshe says it's nice to keep those things, but he makes a very interesting, important point, which is he says, but that's not an issur. And Adarabba, the Jewish people at that point, that's all that they had. And they didn't have Torah. What made them Jewish? It was these cultural identifiers. What makes us Jewish is Torah, mitzvos. And so the cultural identifiers are not what define us as Jews. It's the Torah. It's our allegiance to the Torah. It's our allegiance to Halacha. And therefore, the cultural identifiers are not usher. Each thing has to be thought of, you know, how it's still nice to have the cultural identifiers like Jewish names and Jewish language and Jewish dress. But that's not usher anymore. Had the Jewish people in Mitzrayim lost those cultural identifications, then there would be nothing left. There would be no difference between them and the Egyptians. And that's why it's very different what they did than what we do. All right, I don't know. I guess probably spend another day on this, and we'll do tomorrow what we're supposed to do today, and Sunday what we're supposed to do tomorrow, and not Sunday, Monday. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. No call on Sunday.
So does everybody think that if K through 7, one, there's a chok kavua to make things that instead of have the outside of the
what does K through 7 mean?
Every kid from kindergarten pre-K